Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Brought to you by Baptist Health and by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now. Right now.
From the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, this is Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman in studio. And we'll have Tony Baselli on the phone coming up about 6:15. He is in another area code again, but we'll get him some of his thoughts. He was here the first couple days of organized team activities. Phone lines open, 355-NFL1. 355-6351. Hello, Jeffrey.
What's happening, JP?
How are you, man?
I'm doing good. It's nice to have some activities on the field to watch, you know, to start to look at the improvement, to look at the improved personnel, to look at the competition. But the first thing, I think we talked about it last week and what we really wanted to look at, first and foremost, I said the quarterback. You know, I mean, that's what this league is all about. And you know, talking to Frank and him, I talked about how competitive, and he brought that up, how competitive the offensive line is. Mm-hmm. And other positions are competitive as well. The one position, though, that it's hard to manufacture competition is the quarterback, because you know who the guy is. It's Blake Bortles. And so it's so important to have a person that is the man, or perceived to be the man eventually, to have an internal drive that is compared to none other. Because he does not have competition. You know, he is the guy.
Right.
And he knows it. So to have Blake Bortles to take the initiative to do what he did in the offseason, and then to see the first 3 days to where you can see the improvement, I mean, it's very apparent. You can see how much better he has gotten in the offseason activities that he was the one who initiated, and he was the one that said, I need to do this to get better. That's so important to a franchise.
I guess the last time around here that you've known going into an off season that the quarterback is the man is Garrard, right? Because even Blaine Gabbert's first year, he wasn't the guy until.
Yeah, but even with David,
Garrard got cut.
You knew with David that you never had the expectation that he could, you know, eventually become. And no slight to David. David was a very good player. I mean, very good player.
Yeah.
But you never thought that at some point that Dave was going to elevate and become, you know, a top elite quarterback. You always thought that he could be good, serviceable, and if you build enough around him that you could win. And there's nothing wrong with that. But to have the belief that you got a guy that you think has a chance of being a top caliber quarterback, boy, it makes a big difference. But he's got to have the drive. And it's apparent that he has the drive.
Yeah.
He looks in shape. He works very hard in practice. His throws have become more accurate. You can see that he takes command of the huddle. All good signs. I mean, and I'm not trying to minimize everything else, but in football, that's the starting point.
I think Blake said it himself. It's a while back now. He said he was kind of fat at the end of last year. That's his exact words. So he knew that. He worked on that in the off season, and obviously worked on the mechanics,
yeah,
too, right?
That's the most important. I mean, you know, hey, look. There's been plenty of quarterbacks who have been fat.
Right.
That have been fine.
He said it in a joking manner
a bit.
But it's more about the mechanics. And how's he look the first 3 days mechanically?
He looks so much better. And look, I'm not a quarterback expert, but I look at the result. You know, where's the ball? Where's the ball hitting the receiver? I'm not sitting there saying I can evaluate the footwork and everything else. But he looks to be more on balance. But the end result to me is the most important thing. Where's the ball location? Last year, the balls weren't tight, especially at this point last year, the beginning of OTAs for Blake Bortles. I mean, you literally came away the first 3 or 4 days and said to yourself, this is the guy that they drafted with the 3rd overall pick?
Mm-hmm.
Trouble. I mean, you kind of had that thought, but, you know, you didn't say it because, you know, we're like, look, I mean, the guy was extremely successful at UCF, so you knew that he had talent, but it didn't show last year at the very beginning of OTAs. I mean,
that rookie minicamp.
Put it this way. Hey. There were a lot of murmurs last year at the beginning of OTAs going, uh-oh. This year, sitting there watching it, you go, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 Did you see that? Yeah. And I think part of it is, too, is that Julius Thomas being out there on the field.
I was about to say.
When the ball is anywhere in his wingspan, it's caught.
And that's what Blake told us the other day on Jaguars.com Live. He can throw it anywhere near him, and he's confident.
The first day, you were just like, okay, go take your helmet off. Okay, you've had enough. Okay, we've seen enough. We know what you are. We're good. You know, I mean, that's how good he looked on the first day. I mean, he made catches that just made you go, wow. And when you sign a free agent, that's what you want. So I think part of it's that. The other positive, too, you've got some of the wide receivers out, which doesn't help the quarterback.
Let's go through those. Marquise Lee banged his knee up a couple weeks ago in phase two, and it's kind of week to week, Gus Bradley said. Allen Robinson is probably about a week away, he told me in the locker room.
Had surgery on the foot.
Yeah, and he's getting closer and closer. That's good news.
Stop right there just for a second. Yeah. Because, and you've also got Damian Copeland, who's out, who was a practice squad guy last year, but we're not seeing him. But, watching Allen Robinson in practice, and he's out there, he's dressed to practice, he does a lot of things on the side. But what impresses me most about Allen Robinson is he's not taking reps. But did you watch him the last 3 days when they're in team?
No, I have not.
Allen Robinson will go into the huddle, get the call with his helmet on, and then when the huddle breaks, he jogs out to where he is supposed to line up. And then he stays 5 yards behind the receiver at the position that he's going to be playing. And he sits there and he goes and takes a couple steps at the beginning. So he's taking mental reps every time. And when you have a guy like that, that can be not really necessarily a vocal leader, but a leader by example, it rubs off. You know what I saw after that happened about the first two team drills of team? Marquise Lee started doing that. I mean, that's what you got to have. You know, you go back to, a lot of Jaguar fans remember Jimmy and Keenan.
I think they all do.
Keenan McCardell was the one who broke out first. And Jimmy watched, and Jimmy learned by watching Keenan. And then Jimmy emulated what Keenan did. And then it became competitive on the field, in the meeting rooms, in the weight room. And I'm not saying that that's going to be that scenario with Allen Robinson and Marquise Lee, but when you see that dynamic kind of play out a little bit in OTAs from what I saw, that's a positive thing. And Allen Robinson is a guy who had a great reputation coming out of Penn State, and he's on the mend. But seeing him do that and then see a guy like Marquise Lee, who last year the big knock on him, he's still immature. He's still got a lot of growth. But to see him start to take steps like that and not be, clowning around, playing grab behind, and there's another term that I won't use.
Well, you won't use it. Why not?
That's a good thing. I mean, those are all positive that you see out there in OTAs. I mean, when you watch practice, you can learn more by not watching the actual players that are on the field. Sometimes you watch what happens off to the side, and you watch the individuals, and you watch the interaction and the body language. You can learn a lot from watching that.
Julius Thomas, we mentioned him briefly, out today, kicked in the calf yesterday, apparently. Seems fine.
No big deal. I mean, look, he's a star player, and when you have a star player that gets a little bit of a nick, you be cautious. Now, Clay Harbor, the tight end who I believe it was last year had the calf, that's a concern. They're saying that I think Gus Bradley said today he may be out like 2 weeks. And I don't know if it's the same injury, if it's the same side, left or right or whatever.
Doesn't matter though, right?
But
that's not a good sign.
I mean, that's a position that, is more of a premium this year. You're not carrying a fullback. You know that he's a guy that can help you out with Mercedes and Julius. And then after that, you got to kind of figure it out. It's going to be kind of a battle between Koyak and some undrafted guys. Let them figure it out. But disappointing to see that Clay Harbor has an issue pop up in OTAs.
Other notes from today, Dante Fowler Jr., went under the knife yesterday in Pensacola. Dr. James Andrews repaired the anterior cruciate ligament. And so the rehab begins for Dante Fowler Jr. I guess that's probably the best place to go, right? I mean,
well,
if you're going to go, it's where a lot of guys go.
I mean, he has a great reputation. He does that like me and you, put on underwear or put socks on. I mean, it's, the guy can probably do an ACL reconstruction in his sleep. And the Jaguars.
Now you don't wear socks.
Well, flip flops. Putting on flip flops.
Right.
uh, But the Jaguars doctor, from what I understand, traveled. And
Dr. Kaplan, yes.
Yep, Kevin Kaplan went along for the ride and was there to observe and participate, maybe. I don't know. But, you know, that's he's a great surgeon. He does them all the time. His patients have had great success at returning. Everything that I hear about the actual injury, you know, an isolated ACL, and they expect a complete and full recovery.
It's kind of a side note here. Remember who did yours?
Absolutely. Elliot Pellman did mine. Elliot Pellman is the orthopedic head guy for the New York Jets, and he is very well respected, one of the best. Many people, just like Dr. James Andrews, many people go to see him to get knees done.
He still is now?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't think he's their head, you know, orthopedic guy with the Jets, but he's at every game, and when they need a knee done, they go to him. And that's what you got to have. I mean, if you're a professional, you know, look, you want to have the best of the best fixing you up. Okay? It's like, you know, you've got a very nice car, JP. Okay? Are you going to take it to the corner garage? Probably not. You want to go. If you depend on that for your livelihood, you want to have the best of the best do that. So I think a good decision for Dante.
Other notes today, a couple of Jaguars rookies missed practice today. Not a bad thing, though. T.J. Yeldon and Rashad Green out today for the NFLPA Rookie Premiere. It's a marketing event. They do photographs for trading cards, some other marketing opportunities through the Players Association. They didn't have that when you were a rookie, I guess.
No,
right?
they didn't have that. And Dante Fowler would have been in attendance not for the surgery that he had scheduled. You know, more important things to worry about when you need to get your knee fixed. But did not have any of that. It's a cool event, a great experience for the rookies, and then after this weekend they come back and they get back to work.
It always seems like I ask you, hey, they have that when you were a rookie? And no.
They didn't have
times
a lot
have
of
changed,
things.
Jeff, I think.
It's much different. I mean, it's much different. I mean, even, you know, the greatest thing that they've changed, you know, back going all the way back to when I was rookie, which was 1989, the greatest thing that they changed.
I won't tell you what grade I was in.
Was having the OTAs. Because when I was rookie, we had the draft, and then we had a mini camp after the draft, and then that was it. I mean, that was it. You came back in and hung out for a couple days and worked out at the facility for a couple days at your convenience, you know, maybe 2 or 3 days, and then you came back for training camp. So you didn't have any exposure to the playbook. You know, so the advent of OTAs, which really came with Jimmy Johnson entering the league in 1989, because he was one that instituted all of that.
You keep referencing him, yeah.
But, I mean, he changed the league. I mean, Jimmy Johnson changed the way the NFL does business. When he started winning Super Bowl after Super Bowl and assembling talent and making professional football really a year-round training activity at the team headquarters, it changed the game. And I think it changed it for the better.
Changes and promotions in the personnel and scouting departments. We'll get to that coming up. Also, Tony Boselli will join us over the phone line. Phone line's open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Prime Sport is the leading global sports travel and event management company, offering corporate and fan travel packages and hospitality events for corporations, professional sports teams, and fans. For more information, go to primesport.com. The Jaguars offseason is brought to you by Prime Sport. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman in Jacksonville at Everbank Field. In the HananiaAutos.com studio, Tony Boselli might have used Prime Sport for his trip this week. Where are you, Tony? What's up?
I am in the beautiful state of Kentucky.
Okay, and why?
I had a little golf tournament.
Oh. Now, the little bird told me that you've lost the last couple of golf tournaments. This is the Ryan Robinson Cup, right? And it sounds like the Jaguars PR director, Ryan Robinson, is going for a three-peat this year. Is this true?
I cannot deny that. I think it's shocking that he would talk like that, seeing that we've played 100 times and the only 2 times he's beaten me is at this event. But, yes, it's true.
Well, you know, Good luck.
I mean, I could say some things about him, but I'll just save those for another
Please
time.
No, go ahead. Please.
No, it's okay. It wouldn't be proper. I'm a better and bigger man than him.
Yeah, well, you're bigger. That's for sure.
Now.
Yeah, you're bigger.
You can't let Ryan Robinson beat you three in a row.
No kidding.
Don't even come back.
It's one of the most embarrassing things in my entire life that he has beaten me at anything. I mean, look at him.
It's a long... Yeah, I know we have to every day. Okay, OTAs. You saw the two practices, right? And
just first day.
The first day. Initial reaction. The new guys stand out to you. What did you see?
Well, and focus in mainly on the offensive line, Tony, because almost the entire 2-hour practice period. I mean, that's where you were at.
Right.
Yeah, I loved it. It's really enjoy watching and listening to Doug Marrone coach and teach. You can see why he's had success. He's an outstanding communicator. So that was. I think something very positive. You know, I think just watching them, and it's always hard to tell the offensive line with no pads on, but it is a much, it's a bigger unit. I mean, you had Parnell at right tackle. Jokel's put on some weight, you know, offseason, you know, at least part of the offseason so far with Linder and Buenco. You know, you had Kane in there, you have Beatles. I mean, it's a bigger unit, and I think, which is going to help quite a bit.
Well, and you're right, the level of communication. Yesterday, really watched, you know, how Doug Marrone teaches. And he really spends time in talking about, you know, not just, okay, your job is to block this guy, but he talks about the objective of the play so that they can understand why they're doing what they're doing. And I think that's important. I mean, look, offensive linemen, for the most part, I mean, with the exception of Tony, they're all pretty bright guys.
Yeah, I'm kind of an outlier there. Jeff, you're right, though. The reality is a lot of people can tell you, draw plays and tell you who to block and here's the scheme and go here and go there. The reality with the offensive line position is such a detailed-oriented position, and the fundamentals are critical in how you do it and the correct method of doing it. And the repetition of doing that over and over are so critical and make the difference when you're out there going full speed and when it's live. And it's such a, and I've said this a number of times on the air, it's an unnatural position from the sense of, you know, the things you're asked to do, you're not going and doing that, you know, on a daily basis. You know, you play wide receiver, you know, run straight, run fast, move around. I mean, a lot of the positions, you know, are just athletic positions that your natural ability can take over. The offensive line isn't like that, and being able to teach those details and really drive them home and to communicate them in a manner that everyone understands is a gift, and it's very important. I think he's proven to do that in the past, and I like what I've seen so far.
And focus in on Jeremy Parnell for a minute, but watching him in team drills, going up against, you know, some of the more shiftier guys. First of all, what stands out the most is the guy's big. I mean, he's big, and his body fat might be single digits. I mean, he is put together now. And his footwork looks good. He's a big man. We know he's strong from watching the film of him. And then you add the competition across the board, and even center Luke Buenco. I was talking to him the other day. 295, he played at ballpark last year, 290, 295. He's up to 305 and said he had a great offseason in the weight room with strength and conditioning coach Thomas Linsky. I mean, even though they don't have pads on, Tony, you're kind of getting on him, and I am getting excited about watching these guys when the pads finally do come on.
Well, yeah, I mean, just about the size. I mean, Jeff, you and I have been doing the games the past couple of years, especially 2 years ago. At times you watch our guys walk out, and you watch the opposing team, and it's like, boy, it's a noticeable difference just from the size of the individuals. And I think that's not going to be the case any longer. You know, the young guys, you know, in the weight room and adding guys. A guy like Parnell, watching him in the team drills and move around, he's obviously a big guy. But his athletic ability, his foot movement, and his length are something that really stand out. And you like watching him. You know, it's hard, as I've said before, to tell a lot in team drills without pads on. But one thing you can see is how a guy moves in space and how he handles guys, you know, the smaller, quicker defensive ends, and we're trying to speed rush it. And so far, what I've seen, I like.
Well, I can't wait to see when the pads get on, and you combine Parnell, you know, who's, what, 6'6", 315, 320, somewhere in that range, and Linder, who just has great power, and putting those guys side by side, look out.
No, I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be a great battle at center with Blanco and Wisniewski when he gets in there as well. And I think there's going to be a battle at left guard between Can and Beatles. And so I think there's a lot of there's a lot more depth, and I think it's going to be very interesting how this thing plays out. And you get Austin Pazdor, who's not going to go away quietly. He's going to continue to battle for a position, and he looks good. And talking to him, his hamstring feels great. So just the depth, you know, and all the things, you know, getting some stability there, I think is going to help that unit quite a bit. And I'm looking forward to it. You know, this is good stuff. They're learning. They're getting good technique, a lot of reps. But the real true test is, you know, you get training camp, and it'll be some good matchups at defensive line with the addition of Odrick. And, you know, he's a big man. And, you know, you like what you see there as well. And so looking forward to it. Looking forward to when the big guys can get to work and start really hitting each other.
Can you notice the difference in Luke Jokel?
Yeah, I think he looks a little bigger, a little thicker up top, and which is going to help him. And, you know, he's in these type of drills, he's always looked good because he's so athletic. And so you like what you see, the work he's put in. He's added, you know, probably 10 pounds, it looks like to me. But, Jeff, I think you'd agree. The real test is once you get the pads on and once you get out there in the game, will the improvements translate, and all the stuff he's working on, all the things he's doing, going to translate to the field with the pads on the preseason, regular season. But, you know, the good news is he's gained the weight, a little bit of the weight that I think everyone thought he needed to, and he still looks athletic out there moving around.
Tony Vaselli is with us on the phone from the great Commonwealth of Kentucky. Not a state.
Commonwealth, yes.
That's right. Getting ready for a golf tournament.
Nothing common, though, about Kentucky.
No. You're right. It is very different. Other side, and you watched a lot of offensive line the first day. Any other positions stand out? Obviously, defensive line against them, you watch those matchups naturally.
Yeah.
So what stands out?
Well, I'll say this. The biggest thing that stood out to me, guys, was Julius Thomas. I mean, just how dang smooth he is. And, you know, he went across the middle and caught a ball fully extended, never broke stride. And just what, you know, just the athletic ability at that position, which we have not had or seen in the passing game, is going to be very interesting, and I think it's going to be a huge help to Blake Bortles. And so, you know, you see why. He was a highly coveted free agent in his ability and his movement and everything else. And, boy, you know, keep him on the field, keep him healthy, and he's going to make a big difference in that offense.
Tony, we appreciate you coming on tonight on the road again. You'll be back next week, right?
I'll be there in studio. Looking forward to it. I miss you guys.
And don't let Ryan beat you.
Yeah. Whatever you
do. I won't.
Come on. I don't know. You said that 2 years in a row, apparently.
I know I have.
If you got to take some air out of your balls, do whatever you got to do.
Yeah, listen. This is the Deflategate. I mean, illegal golf balls. I mean, whatever it takes.
Tony Vaselli, have a good trip, man. We'll see you next week.
See you guys.
There he is, Tony Vaselli, pride of the Jaguars, left tackle. Yeah, I mean, a lot of new on the offensive line, Jeff.
One thing that, you know, when I asked Tony about Jokel, the most important thing that he said there is that it looks like that Jokel put on about 10 pounds. But then he said, it looks like he put on 10 pounds, but he still looks athletic as he's ever been. That's key. I mean, that's the most important thing to take away there, because a lot of guys, when they put weight on, they don't do it the right way, and they have a hard time maintaining their strength, athleticism, and their movement skills. And so it tells you that, from Tony's impression, that he put it on the right way. But then also, Tony said, look, the most important thing is when he gets the pads on. Very true for Luke Jokel.
I should have asked Tony this, but I'll ask you. Gus and Dave would never publicly say it, but this is a big year for Luke Jokel, right?
Yeah, I think it's a big year for him. I mean, but you got to remember, too, it's still only – he's a second-year guy. You know, came out of college extremely young. You know, so I think I have a tendency to be more patient with him because of those circumstances. Coming in first year, one game at left tackle, gets a broken leg, comes back. You know, last year was his first year ever playing. The circumstances weren't perfect. You had a young quarterback, young across the board on the entire offense. You had lost your offensive line coach who was getting treatment for cancer. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of circumstances that didn't play in his favor last year.
True.
So, and I've said this all along, you have to have the base of the ability to be able to play at a high level at that position. Luke Jokel has it. Now it's just a matter of learning, like Tony talked about, some of the finer details and the intricacies of playing the position. And with Luke, it's about power, it's about balance, and it's about hand placement. And all of those things are teachable and coachable. So I don't worry about him, because what he has that you can't coach is the athletic ability to play that position.
Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. The official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions. They will take it from here. We'll come back with more OTA talk. We'll look around the National Football League a little bit later. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Jaguars 3-packs are on sale now. Get the best prices and locations. Pick any three home games and choose from five different locations at Everbank Field. Prices start at $99. Visit Jaguars.com/tickets or call 633-2000. Jaguars Thursday rolls along. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Boselli just joined us over the phone from the Commonwealth of Kentucky. He'll be back with us next week. Got to mention here, by the way, Mercedes Lewis will have his second annual free football camp June 13th. That's a Saturday at Lee High School over on McDuff Avenue in Riverside. Benefits the Mercedes Lewis Foundation. You can go to MercedesLewisFoundation.org to sign up. So that's coming up. A couple Saturdays.
Yeah, Mercedes is really good with the kids. Love the guy. You know, I knew that there was a little bit of a question mark his salary, and there was an article written this week about how he's in a good place and he's good with it all. It's going to be fun to watch how they use that tight end position, but I can tell you one way that they're going to be using Mercedes Lewis, and that's blocking. I mean, if you want to get back to running the football, you put Mercedes Lewis, a healthy Mercedes Lewis, in the lineup next to them big offensive linemen, let him have at it. Let him do what he does best. And he is by far one of the best blocking tight ends in the league when he is healthy.
Big news today, Jaguars general manager Dave Caldwell announced personnel changes. Well, not really changes, title changes and promotions. John Idzik, who was brought on as an assistant before the draft, has now been brought on full-time.
More of his, he was a consultant.
A consultant.
Consultant role.
Word I was
you know, after
for.
After he was fired from the GM position of the New York Jets, came over from the Seattle Seahawks prior to that. You know, he is considered one of the best in the league when it comes to cap and understanding the cap and the numbers and contracts. And Tim Walsh, who has been a great asset to this organization for a long time, was the guy who was handling the contracts and the cap. And it's become a very complex situation. And so the better understanding and the more brain power that you have in that category, the more or the better the chance is that the organization can thrive continuously year after year. And so a good hire by Dave Caldwell.
He is the special assistant to the GM officially. Chris Polian, promoted to director of player personnel, former Colts GM, I guess, with his dad, Bill, of course.
He's a bright mind, and, yeah, everybody knows about his dad. And but Chris is a very smart guy in his own right. You know, I've had a lot of conversations with Chris since he came on and has some great conversations with him about personnel, and he gets it. You know, and I think the most important thing is that when you're in the role of Dave Caldwell, what you want is to surround yourself with bright minds and people that you can trust. And Chris Polian is both. He's a bright mind, and he's a person that Dave trusts. They've got a long history together, and I think it's a great mix. And they work very well together. When you watch the dynamic between those two, they work well together. Let me also add about John Idzik. I mean, his responsibility is not going to be just cap and numbers and contracts. You know, he has experience in personnel as well, so it's another voice in that department as well.
And that's two former GMs in the league that are on the staff underneath Dave Caldwell now. Chris Cub Driggers, promoted director of pro personnel. He's one of six original Jaguars employees remaining and just keeps moving on up. Good for Cub.
Yeah, and Cub, you said Chris Cub Driggers. Cub is not his middle name. That's his nickname. And he has...
I was sold a bill of goods. Now I know. 4 years in, that's not his real name.
Make sure. He's a great guy, hardworking guy. He's paid his dues, and I think Dave Caldwell said it best. It was long overdue, and that he now has a director title, and he is also a proud graduate of the University of Alabama.
We might have discussed this a few times.
I figured I'd go ahead and say it before you did.
Yes. Also, one other promotion today, Casey Belongi. They promoted a scouting assistant from an intern, so good for him. He's been with the equipment staff the year before that as an intern and has been around the league for a while, a Packers equipment intern as a high school student and such. So good for him moving up in the business. So the biggest moves today, of course, the top three, and not really new people, but new titles.
Well, just if I mean, you get a new title, you get a bump in pay, you know, and it kind of defines the organization a little bit more for Dave Caldwell. And, you know, when you can find the horses, you know, that gives you the greatest chance of being a really good football team. And the more people that you have that have an eye for talent, the better your organization will be in the long term. I mean, it's no different than baseball, JP, which you spent many years involved in. Mm-hmm. I mean, a good scout in baseball is worth his weight in gold. And in football, if you can find a gem, because there are gems to be found, not all gems, just they all don't exist in the first round or as a high-priced free agent. There are gems to be found in the later rounds, and the more people that you have that can possibly find them, the better off you're going to be. You know, and one perfect example is Jerry Hughes. You know, Chris Polian and Bill Polian were largely criticized for drafting Jerry Hughes in the first round and eventually got cut from the Indianapolis Colts. And all of a sudden, he ends up with the Buffalo Bills. And now look where he's at. I mean, so they had a belief in a guy, okay, it didn't pan out in Indianapolis, but you feel good about a guy like Jerry Hughes that got drafted by the Polians, that they believed that he had the talent. And sure enough, he's proved them right.
You know, we started off the show talking about Blake Bortles, quarterback progression, Jeff. And, you know, earlier today on Jaguars Today, I filled in for Mike Dempsey today. And the question of the day, Blake had, what, 11 touchdowns, 17 picks last year, something close to that. What will that number be this year, Jeff?
Or you like it to flip-flop.
That's what everybody said. Yeah, I don't remember one answer that thought would be flip-flop the same.
But I think... It's a very difficult question to answer with just, you know, here's a prediction number-wise, and it's fun to do, and you get a lot of feedback when you ask that question. But there's so many different things that go into that.
Yeah.
You know, how well are you running the football? How good is your defense? What is your turnover ratio to fumbles? What is the number of penalties that you have? You know, so, I mean, there's so many things that go into that. I mean, give me a number of what they're going to average rushing per game, and then I could probably give you a better answer.
195 yards a game on the ground.
He might only throw eight, you know.
New league record.
But, yeah, I mean, as a young quarterback, look, you still expect some mistakes to be made because you want him to still be aggressive. You don't want him to lose what he has, and that's the aggressive part. I mean, last year in the preseason, what wowed everybody is that he pushed the ball down the field and he was aggressive. And then when he started out last year, he stayed aggressive and he pushed the ball down the field. That performance that he had at San Diego was almost a duel between him and Phillip Rivers. And then all of a sudden, as the weeks wore on, you started to see less and less of that. And so you want to see him get that aggressive nature back, and that comes through confidence, and it also comes through the level of play that happens around him. But, I mean, just off the cuff, if he can flip that and 17 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, that would be fantastic. That would be a big jump, big jump.
We were talking about this today, too. The franchise record for touchdown passes is like 23.
It's not that high.
Huh.
No, it's not that high. I mean, you know, what did Tom Brady and Peyton Manning throw that 1 year? Was it high 40s, 50?
Oh, yeah.
49. Yeah. I mean, that's crazy.
If they're throwing 23 or 24, they're asking, what's wrong with these guys?
You know, if you can go in your second year 2-1, you know, your ratio's 2-1, that would be an outstanding jump for a young quarterback.
Also, the Jags announced earlier this week that the minicamp that's coming up at the end of OTAs, there's a 3-day mandatory minicamp. It's a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 16, 17, and 18. The final day of that will be open to the public.
Yeah, and that practice has moved up a little bit. Mm-hmm. It starts at 11. The first 2 days, which are not open to the public, I believe start at 1 o'clock and then go to 3:30-ish. The last day, which is the 18th, June 18th, it gets moved up 11. I think it's an 11 a.m. start.
Yeah.
So, which is great. I mean, you know, people got to play hooky from work, but, you know.
It's okay.
Last opportunity to see your team prior to training camp.
And that'll be, what, a five-week window, I guess. It's a dead period, right?
It's a good amount of time. You know, that's the one thing I think that, you know, a lot of coaches, what they – I mean, in a perfect world, what you'd like to be able to do is, I mean, because you're not even starting camp until the end of July. You know, because I think the first preseason date is the 13th, I believe, of August. So, I mean, it's a, you know, that is a big window. I mean, you're talking 18, that's, you know, essentially 6 weeks of having the players off, you know, and that's when you kind of, you know, a lot of players think, well, that's great, we get to get a little of a break. But that's when the players need to really kind of start, you know, putting their nose to the grindstone even more. I mean, that's the prep that you got to go into camp with. But you also have to temper it a little bit. You don't want to overtrain. I mean, Cecil Shorts for a couple years, you know, ended up having, you know, injuries because he probably overtrained. I mean, because Cecil wanted to be great.
Yeah.
You know, and he thought that hard work would just pay off. But at the same token, you want to have your hard work put in, but you also have to be smart.
Yeah, and Cecil said they would go to that Larry Fitzgerald camp at Minnesota and run routes every day and sprint and this and that. Well, yeah, at some point, you got to rest, too.
Well, and the players can't get together under the guidance of coaches.
Right.
And so if they want to do something like that, they need to be careful and make sure that they're – you know, cause I remember many guys that would go and train somewhere that didn't have the proper supervision – or the proper field conditions and come back hurt. And you don't want guys to have that happen.
That mini camp practice that is open to the public is Thursday, June 18th. And you have to go to jaguars.com/veteran minicamp to register for free tickets. So go there and mark it on your calendar and come out and see the Jaguars before the dead period. We'll come back in a moment with a look around the National Football League. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Final segment of Jaguars Thursday. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Buscelli out. We'll be back next week. I meant to ask you this. Just another show. It has nothing to do with really anything we're talking about tonight. It's a random question.
Okay.
If you, right now, were 100% in football shape, don't worry about any of your past injuries, you're 100% healthy, could you play right now? Do you feel like you could compete with the players in the league right now?
Absolutely.
How? Why?
Yeah, if I was 24, 25, 26 years ago.
Oh, but you could right now. What are you, 40 years old?
47.
Okay.
Are you kidding me?
Just asking.
One good hit, and that's all she wrote.
But I'm just curious. I thought about that. I was talking to somebody about this, and it just made sense.
That's a young man's game, JP.
Okay.
Young man's game.
Okay. I told you it was a random question.
So. That is a dumb question.
Well, thanks. Okay. Let's go around the National Football League.
Yeah, let's do
that. Before Jeff insults me anymore. It's a 360-degree look around the
wait a minute,
National
wait a
Football
minute. If you were standing on the sun, JP, you think your feet would hurt?
I mean, what in the wild world of sports going on here?
It's been a long day, all right? 360-degree look around the National Football League is presented by 360 Access. Don't mess around when it comes to game time, Jeff. The 360 Access team of experts is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to make sure you have the best experience for the biggest games of the year. Visit 360access.com to learn more.
So okay, well, if you're 25 years younger,
if you're 25
and in great shape, you think you could play again?
Could you play with this crew? Are they faster and bigger than they were in 1984 or whatever?
Yeah, I mean they're bigger, but it's not the jump. I think from back when I played to now is not as great, I don't think, as from the time that I started to the time I finished.
It's a long answer. It's a yes or no question.
Sure. Well, it's a dumb question. When you have a dumb question, it requires a long answer.
All right, let's start off with Ray McDonald arrested two times.
I'm just kidding, JP.
No, you're
I'm
not.
Just kidding.
No, it's okay. It's fine. I'll just keep it to myself next time. Ray McDonald arrested two times in 3 days, the first Monday for domestic violence and child endangerment, for allegedly assaulting a woman while holding a baby. The second for violating a restraining order on Wednesday after that. Is he done in the league?
Yeah. I mean, it's there is a debate as to whether or not he was aware, according to his attorney, of the restraining order, which his attorney said that he was not aware of. But my answer or my comment to that would be is that even if you didn't have knowledge of a restraining order, why would you go back to the environment that got you in trouble in the first place? I mean, that's dumb. I mean, joking aside, your question was not great, but
this is a clear
that's
question
dumb.
Right here. Is he in the league or not?
That's
a clear question.
No, he's going to have he won't get back in the league this year.
Thank you. That's a simple answer.
Yeah, I like to be simple with you sometimes, JP. It's good for you.
I need all the help I can get. The Adrian Peterson saga continues, of course. The organization, the Vikings, said he has two options, play for the Vikings or not play
at all.
That
was the comment from Mike Zimmer, their head coach, right, which basically echoes the comments that you've been hearing whispers of. Without them trying to put names on it, that's what they've been trying to say quietly because they want to make Adrian Peterson happy. What Adrian Peterson and his agent Ben Dogra want is guaranteed money. He has a significant amount of money due to him in paragraph 5 salary, which is non-guaranteed money. So that means when he makes the team, he is guaranteed of that when he's on the opening day roster as a vested veteran. What his agent wants is guarantees that he doesn't have to make the team to get paid. And the chances of that happening when the team holds your rights, go back to the Maurice Jones-Drew contract battle under Shad Khan's first year of ownership. Mm-hmm. At some point, the Wilfs are going to say, the train is leaving the station. Are you going to be on it?
Exactly what he said.
And Adrian Peterson is not going to pass up $12 million unless he's just dumb.
It's a lot of De Niro.
That's a lot of De Niro.
Not Robert De Niro. Ryan Clady, the Broncos left tackle, could miss the season, will miss the season, with a torn ACL. What does this do for Denver?
I mean, that's a tough one now. He's a premier left tackle. He protects the blind side of an aging quarterback. They had him out a couple years ago, and the starting right tackle filled in for him and did an admirable job. Now, Peyton Manning is a great quarterback at making offensive linemen look better than they actually are, but he's still a premium player at a premium position with an aging quarterback who last year did not finish the season strong after taking a couple hits. And then also you have a new head coach in Gary Kubiak that's trying to build – a new philosophy on offense, which is run the football and play action. It's hard to do without a great left tackle or a great offensive lineman, period. So that's a big blow to the Denver Broncos. It's a big blow to the Jaguars losing Dante Fowler.
Sure.
But that's a commodity that you haven't seen yet. You know, so it's not like you said, okay, well, we had this level of production out of Dante Fowler last year. We know what we're losing. You don't know what you're losing in Dante Fowler. You know you're losing a good player with a lot of upside. But with Ryan Clady, you're losing a premium player who is a proven player on a team that has an aging quarterback. That's not good.
The Houston Texans will be the featured team on the Hard Knocks TV series this year. Is that the right team? Is that the team you want to see on there?
I'm good with it because, I mean, one of the biggest stars in the National Football League is J.J. Watt.
I mean, I've heard of him, yes.
To me, that's great. I mean, it's great TV. You also have some other compelling storylines. You got Arian Foster, who is very standoffish with the media. He kind of gives a lot of one-word answers. I think getting to know him with a TV camera will be interesting. I would watch it because he's an interesting character and he's a great player. You also have a quarterback competition going on that's going to be intense with Ryan Mallett and Brian Hoyer. You also have the return of Jadeveon Clowney, the first overall pick in the draft from last year, coming back from microfracture surgery. Mm-hmm. Bill O'Brien is an interesting personality. You ever watched one of his press conferences?
Very limited.
He's pretty good now.
Yeah.
He's pretty good. He's got some personality. I mean, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, you'd like to have Rex Ryan or you'd like to have a big personality as a coach. Bill O'Brien's got a great dry sense of humor. He's not Bill Belichick. A lot of people assume that he's Bill Belichick part two. That's not him. Watch one of his press conferences. He's very entertaining.
And a lot of folks don't realize it, but the Jaguars really the first really guinea pig. They had a Jaguars summer show on NFL Network, right? That's what that was called. It was 2000.
I mean, it was the same thing.
It was the same exact show,
but it was just called differently because it was a different network.
Right. Yeah, could it come back here? I mean, would it come back here?
I think it could eventually.
And who would you most want to see mic'd up and behind the scenes?
I mean, the number one draw on this team that would be absolutely fantastic with the camera following around, send Derek Morris. I mean, first of all, he's an excellent football player. He's funny as all get out. And he's got, I mean, he has a sense of humor that is just, I mean, second to none. And he has the ability to relate with anybody in the locker room, which is very unique. I mean, it's very hard to find. He would be, you know, candidate number one. And Gus Bradley. I mean, the personality of Gus Bradley would just be shining on the documentary series like that.
And the camera following him around would be worn out, mm-hmm. No doubt. I mean, just because he's all over the building all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Different parts of the organization.
Yeah. So, I'm looking forward to watching it. I mean, look, the Texans have a lot of compelling stories, and it will be interesting to watch, too, because it's a division rival. You know, so Jaguar fans, you know, get to know, you know, one of the rivals even more. I think it's great TV.
Jags are back on the field Monday, and Monday is June 1st. Can you believe it's already June?
Yeah, that's a good thing, JP. June 1st stands for a lot of things, and they're on the field Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday again next week. Right. And then the same thing the following week, which you have actually four, the 8th, 9th, 11th, and 12th. But typically OTAs the 10th day sometimes turns into a little bit of a different event.
Yes, and last year it was bowling and video games.
Yeah. You know, and then you have the mandatory minicamp 16th, 17th, and 18th, and then they say goodbye to the players until training camp for the most part.
Well, let's say goodbye for the night. How about that? Well done, Jeff.
Goodbye, JP.
Goodbye, Jeffrey. Goodbye, Joe Fortunato. And thanks for listening. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.